for number 10. You say, well, you're getting with it a little bit early. Well, that's all right. If you don't want to sing, I'll preach. Amen. That's right. That's right. I don't want that to be an encouragement for you to not to sing, though. Amen. Luke chapter number 10, we'll begin our reading in verse number 1, very familiar passage of Scripture. And the Bible said, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Notice that. He sent two by two out where he intended to go. Amen. And if you read the Great Commission, the last chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, go ye. And then he says, and lo, I'm with you always. So if you put those two statements together, as you go, he goes. If you don't go, he don't go. And here he says, as he sent those two out, he sent them out ahead of him and made this statement that whether he himself would come. We might be preparing as we go out. We're preparing for the Lord to make a visit. Amen. Is he going to show up where we did not show up? Verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great. Nehemiah referred to the work of rebuilding the wall as a great work. Amen. That's why he wouldn't come down. He was involved in a great work. If you look at church and the things of God as that which is great, you're probably not going to be talked out of it too easily. And it says here, the harvest truly is great. And that word great identifies it's great in size, but it's also great in value. The harvest truly is great, but. The harvest truly is great is a positive, but he's fixing to introduce a negative. But the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we ask you tonight in the name of Jesus that you will help us, dear Lord, as we look in the word of God that you have stirred my heart with, and Lord, actually stirred my heart in one of the mornings this week of devotions, how you brought this to my attention and just spoke to me about it. And Lord, impressed my heart to preach on it tonight. And Lord, I would ask you, God, to just allow our hearts to be open to the Word of God. I know, Father, people are tired and weary and worn out from school and work and just daily activities. But we'd ask, Lord, that you would get us beyond the physical tonight. Lord, help us tonight to know that without the involvement of our mind and the involvement of our will, Lord, we will not worship you tonight. But I pray that you'll help us to be, Lord, drawn into the service tonight and be delivered of distractions. Lord, help us to get our mind off of the things of this life and the cares of this life and get our mind on what would you want to say to us tonight from the Word of God. Lord, I'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have heard in the Word of God, or referenced toward the Word of God, the Lord's Prayer. Of course, we know that what is referred to in Matthew 6 and other places, our Father which art in heaven, that's really not the Lord's Prayer. That's really the model prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. If you want to find him praying, you find that in John 17. But what we have in our scripture here tonight is not the Lord's Prayer, but we have the Lord's Prayer request. And I wonder how many of us really need to get right with God tonight about our failure concerning the Lord's Prayer request. I don't find too many places in the Word of God where the Lord tells us to pray about this or to pray about that. But here we find he is telling us in verse 2, Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he has sent forth laborers into his harvest. And that's a prayer request. That's a desire of the Lord. That's the mind of the Lord expressed in words. Pray ye the Lord, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he has sent forth laborers into his harvest. So I just want to deal with that tonight on the Lord's prayer request. Or if you want to just subtitle it on why we are not praying for laborers. The Lord's prayer request, or why we are not praying for laborers. We are on the very threshold of our September for Souls month. That's an exciting time. It's a time that God wants everybody to get involved. I believe that. We just came out of August, a month of missions, and how our hearts needed to be stirred and still stirred, yet more stirred about missions. When truthfully we try to categorize missions as local or global, but really there isn't a division. It's souls, period. If you've got a burden for souls, then you're going to have a burden for those that are across the sea. If you've got a burden for souls, you'll have a burden for those down the street. It doesn't matter where they are. If you've got a burden for souls, you are interested in getting the gospel to them in one way or another. And the Lord is giving us here in verse 2 a prayer request. And there's a need. Every time there's a need of prayer, there is a need of provision. There is a need for this prayer to be answered. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. And it's implied that if we'll pray about it, God will answer prayer. Amen. You think the Lord would tell us to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he had sent forth laborers into his harvest, and then he wouldn't answer that prayer? No, friend, he would answer that prayer, and the devil don't want us praying about that. Because if we don't pray about it, then God does not have a prayer that he can answer. Amen. Will God send forth laborers anyhow? That's fatalism. Well, God will do it anyway. No matter what I do, no matter if I pray, no matter how I live, it doesn't matter. God's going to do it anyway. That's not in the Bible. Amen. You have got the wrong view of the sovereignty of God. Amen. He is sovereign, no question about that. Never could we diminish that. But the truth is, God has set up his plan and his program, his church, his business to work through people. And we all need help in this regard, amen? The Lord's prayer request, or why we do not pray for laborers. And I do believe on the onset of the message tonight that many of us in a little bit need to get in the altar and say, Lord, forgive me for not praying the request you gave. Now listen, Samuel, while one of you were testifying earlier, I turned there and found it where Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. Samuel realized that when I don't pray for those who need prayer and want prayer, that I've sinned against God. If that's true, brother and sisters, on a horizontal scale, then how much more of a sin is it for us to not pray about the Lord's prayer request? On Wednesday night and other times in prayer rooms and whatnot, we ask for prayer requests. Anybody got a prayer request? How long's it been? In fact, my mind, I don't know if I've ever heard the prayer request given. Let's pray that the Lord has sent forth laborers into this harvest. I mean, the fact the Lord asked us to pray about that indicates it's very important to him. And if it's important to him, it ought to be important to us. Let me give you some Let me give you some information. And I want you to listen up on this, okay? Rogersville, Tennessee is our direct harvest field. Do you agree with that? It's where we live. It's where we are. It's our harvest field. Well, I did some research and found out that the city of Rogersville, and this I couldn't find a real current estimation of our population in town, but the latest one I could find was said there was 4,397, and that was a rather old one, sort of. Well, 2009. I don't know why there's not anything more current, but I would have to believe that there's at least that many, if not more, in 2013. Well, you'd think that surely to goodness we could get some of those. I would say that very, very few of those are born again, church-going Christians. Let's move out just a little bit further and deal with Hawkins County. I want us to get a focus of that. Our mission field, our direct mission field. Hawkins County population in 2012 was the latest that I could come up with. Said there's 56,587 in population in Hawkins County. Well, I got curious of how many churches is in Hawkins County. And so I discovered, and of course this is very liberal, this brings in, if it's got a steeple, they're in this. 153 congregations in Hawkins County is what I found on the internet. 153 congregations, and that could be anything, okay? Well, I found out, and of course just doing some math work on that, thank God for a calculator. Amen. If all of the 56,000 plus goes to church in 153 congregations, that would average out of 370 people in each congregation. And I'd say, Brother Fultz, in the whole county. And I don't know, I've not guessed, looked at it. I don't know how you could gather that information. But there are probably not over five churches in the whole county that runs over 300 people. Would you say? Most of those are little small assemblies up in hollers and creeks and on the hill or stuck beside 11W, amen, just small congregations. Well, I found this information out as well about Hawkins County. They said, they estimated of that 56,000, that 59.8% of that number is affiliated with a religious congregation. Now that's loose. Affiliated could be they're a member but never go. That they go once a year. That's loose. I mean, that you know, very loose. So 59.8% of 56,000 people. It comes to the total of 33,839. And you'll never get me convinced that 33,000 people in Hawkins County goes to church. I mean, really go. I'm talking about go to church. They may have their name on a dusty church roll, but do they go to church? But here's the astounding thing. Let's just say if that's true. Let's just say, Brother Brad, 59.8% of that crowd goes to church. Do you realize how many's left? 22,748 people in Hawkins County that is not affiliated with a religious congregation. 22,000. We're not talking about Africa or Brother Haiti. We're talking Rogersville, Hawkins County, our county. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And of course, you'd have to agree with me, a large number of that 33,000 that supposedly is identified or affiliated with a religious congregation, you'd think that even a large number of them probably don't go to church either. So the number is probably much higher than 22,000 people. Now, does that do anything for us? Does that stir a burden for us to know that even though everywhere you look there's a church, And almost everybody you talk to saved, or so they say, that there's estimated 22,000 plus people in this county that doesn't go to church or is not even affiliated with a church. I talked to a man on the phone today, don't even go to church. Wanting help, you know, wanting a church to be a welfare program, wanting a church to be a bailout, you know, but not interested in going to church. Not interested in going to church. Amen. I mean, if I was interested enough to ask for help, I'd at least say, well, I'll try to come. Or I'll try to be there Sunday. I'll try to make it or something. Amen. But anyway, I just wanted to give you that. And young people, I want you to get a hold of this one. This is just a general, and this is an old one too. This is a rather old one. Couldn't come with a current one. But it's estimated that in Hawkins County in 2009, and I'd have to say it's probably that or better even still yet, because last time I checked, people are still having babies. There's 12,583 young people under the age of 18 in this county. That's a lot. That's a big number. I think 12,583 under the age of 18. What a mission field. What a mission field. Well, I just wanted to give you that. Maybe that'll stir your heart and mine and ours together as we're fixing to jump into September for Souls. And probably going to have Brother Silas here in just a little while to maybe give an overview of where we're looking to go with our tracts and various things. But I want to preach out of this verse here just for a moment, if I could, and give you some things. I want you to write them down, if you would. And these are just some thoughts the Lord gave me, and then I'll end up dealing with the things why that we are not praying for the laborers to be sent. Why we are not honoring God's prayer requests, and I still believe, and I want to repeat it, I believe we need to get right with the Lord about that. I believe we need to ask God to forgive us for that. Amen. I believe we're sinning against God if we don't do it. And I know for me, as for me, I very seldom do it. And it should be a part of our prayer life to pray for the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into his heart. And amen. Maybe the Lord will put us all under conviction tonight when we get to dealing with why we're not praying for the Lord to send forth laborers into the harvest. But here are some things, just that term, just this simple prayer request. What does it show us? Write these down, and then we'll deal with that other in just a moment. First of all, it shows me that just this prayer request now shows me first the detection of the Lord. The Lord's not in the dark about the great size of the harvest. He is not in the dark about the great scarcity of the helpers. So he knows the great size of the harvest. It's indicated that he knows that. He said, the God that knows, he's not suspecting, he's not guessing, he said the harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest truly is great, the Bible says. So the Lord has a detection. He knows the great size of the harvest, but he also knows and detects the great scarcity of the helpers. He said the laborers are few. Now write it down, number two. I'm just going to go through these. You write them down. I want you to meditate on them when you get home or through the week or whenever. Number two, the prayer request in our text not only shows us the detection of the Lord, but number two, it shows us, and these are just some things the Lord spoke to me about as I meditated on this and prayed over it in my devotion, but it shows me not only the detection of the Lord, it shows me the desire of the Lord. Now, Brother Preston, when the Lord is giving this prayer request, he's opening his heart up. He's showing us his heart, his desire. Amen. Oh, yes. He shows us his desire toward the harvest being gathered from the fields. He shows us the helpers that are the desire for helpers to be going into the fields. Because unless there's helpers going into the fields, there will not be a harvest gathered from the fields. So it's showing us his desire. In fact, the truth is, you can tell what your desires are by what you pray about or what you don't pray about. The Lord is showing us, this is what I know, I've detected this. This is what I desire. I want you to pray about this. Now, if we don't have no part in that, listen, if we don't have no part in that, why did God ask us to pray about it? The Bible calls him what, Brother Brad? The Lord of the harvest. Is that not right? He has the authority to just do it. But he says, I want you to pray, ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he had sent forth labors into his harvest. As if to say, if you don't pray about it, it won't happen. Amen. Dr. John R. Rice said in his book, Ask It and Receive, and God does nothing but in answer to prayer. If you don't pray about it, God won't do it. Amen. So it shows us the detection of the Lord. It shows me the desire of the Lord. And then I see this in that prayer request, the disappointment of the Lord. I see that. When the Lord looks at the harvest that he describes as being great, Matthew's account of this, he calls the harvest truly as plenteous. John says the harvest, it is white unto harvest. It's ready. It's ready. But then when he looks at the laborers, he's disappointed. He said, I've got plenty of work to do. Plenty of work to do. But he said, I don't have many workers, the laborers. So I see there the disappointment that no doubt the Lord feels when he looks at the great harvest and then he looks at the scarcity of the helpers. Thirdly, and I've already referenced this, so I'll just give it to you and go on. I see in here this request, the dependence of the Lord. The dependence of the Lord. That is, the Lord is depending on us to pray and not just pray. Now, I'll deal with some more of that in a minute, but definitely to pray. He's depending on us to pray. Amen. That's what brings about the disappointment as he looks at his people, not willing to go, not willing to work, not willing to talk, not willing to witness, not willing to stand up for him. Amen. And then number four, the last thing I want to just say about this prayer request in and of itself, it shows me the demand of the Lord. The demand of the Lord. What do you mean? The term pray ye. Where he said there in verse 2, pray ye therefore. That word pray ye is in the imperative mood, which expresses a command to the hearer to perform a certain action by the order and authority of the one commanding it. So what am I saying? I believe God is just simply saying, when I'm giving you this prayer request, it is not a suggestion. When he says, pray ye, he's telling us to do it. And if he tells us to do something and we don't do it, what would that mean? I think that would be classified as sin, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say that? James says in James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so certainly to do what God tells us to do would certainly be a good thing, would it not? To him that knoweth to do good. I believe it'd be a good thing to pray for the Lord of the harvest, send forth labors into his harvest. Amen. Before we're done tonight, some of you wished you'd have sung. But there's a demand. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you feel like it. God is putting the order out for his people to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. That's what he said. So it's a demand. Now let's deal with the nitty gritty. Why are we not praying this prayer request, Brother Tim. Why are we not praying what Jesus commands us, asks us, depends on us to pray? Why are we not praying? If I were to, and I'm not going to ask tonight for a show of hands, but couldn't you remember? Could you remember tonight the last time that that ever came out of your across your lips in prayer, this prayer request? Brother Carroll, I think it's implied when he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he'd send forth laborers into his harvest. That means pray and keep on praying it. Have we prayed about that daily? I believe the answer to that is probably no. I know it is for me. Have we prayed that weekly? I'm talking about once a week. Have we prayed this prayer request once a week, Brother Brad? I mean, our precious Lord is the one asking us to pray and putting that order out and depending on us, asking us to pray about it. We pray about it daily. Probably most of us say no. We pray about it weekly. I wonder how many of us would even fall into we pray about it monthly. I know for a fact probably there's been a month go by that I didn't pray that. In fact, I don't know how much in a year's time I pray that particular prayer request. Come on now. We might as well be transparent because God sees right straight through us anyhow. Are you listening? Now, we don't want to nod our head on that. We don't want to say, amen, preacher, that's right, because it makes us look bad. Amen. But it don't matter what we look like. Is our Lord pleased or not? That's the thing. Write these down. I'm going to give them to you as quickly as I possibly can. And we're going to pray tonight around the altar. And these are, I'm telling you, this is just some things God spoke to me about. And they're simple, and there's a lot of weight to them, but it's not real preaching. It won't take me long to cover it. The first thing, and this is what God spoke to me, Brother Klepper. I mean, spoke to my heart about it. And I wrote them down. I wrote them down before they got away from me. I wrote them down. The first thing God spoke to my heart about is that while we are not praying for laborers, while we're not praying the Lord's prayer request, number one, we are lacking intimacy. And right out beside the word intimacy, if you would, write, if you want to put it in parentheses, put, we're lacking closeness with the Master. Why would I want to pray for the Lord of the harvest to do something when I am not intimate with the Lord of the harvest? If I'm not close to the Lord of the harvest. I believe that number one is the reason why we're not praying, Brother Brooks, for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, is that we're not intimate with the Lord of the harvest. We're not close to Him. You agree with that? Intimacy is really a love issue. We started dealing with that on Sunday about if you love me, Jesus said. He asked the question, if you love me, made the statement, if you love me, keep my commandments. We're lacking intimacy. As we get close and closer to the Master, then what matters to Him will matter to us. That makes good sense to me right there. If we get close to the Lord, then what matters to Him will carry some weight with us. And I believe the devil is the author of distance between you and the Lord. He don't care if you go to church. He don't care if you carry a Bible. He doesn't care if you go through somewhat of devotions. As long as there's no intimacy with God. I'm telling you, our churches are dying all across the land because of distance. Defilement for sure has done damage to the spirituality of our church. But I don't know if defilement's done any more damage than distance has. I know this is worth repeating. You've heard me preach on it. But you remember when the Bible said about Peter that he followed afar off? You remember that? And I was preaching on that here. And the Lord spoke to my heart that Peter's problem was not direction. Brother Brad, the Bible, Jesus said it, that he was a following. What does that mean?
That meant where Jesus was going, Peter was following. Peter was walking the same trail, the same path, walking in the same footsteps. Is that not what following him implies? But here's the catch. Jesus said he's following afar off. So direction is not the problem. Distance is the problem. Amen. And I know, friend, I've been saved almost 33 years, and I'm telling you, if you're going to stay close to God, it's going to require attention. It's going to require maintenance. It's not automatic. It's not just going to happen. It's going to require effort. Amen. Me being saved don't require any effort. Amen. Amen. Jesus, salvation is of the Lord, but my spirituality is in my hands. And hinges on my obedience or my choices. Amen. I believe we're not praying this prayer request tonight because of a lack of intimacy and a lack of closeness to the Lord of the harvest. How could I possibly be interested in the harvest if I'm not interested in the Lord of the harvest? See, if we miss that, if we go around that first point of the Lord of the harvest, Brother James, you know what we're doing? We're trying to get people pumped up about the harvest. Isn't that right? We spend a lot of times, Brother Jackie, of preaching and trying to promote and try to stir a burden about the harvest. We're bypassing first base. Brother, the burden for the harvest will come automatic when we get right and close to the Lord of the harvest. Amen. We're wanting to have a burden while we're backslid. We're trying to get folk, including myself, amen, to have a stirring in our heart about souls when we're 400 miles away from the Lord of the harvest. Amen right there. Boy, that thing's big in my heart. So the bottom line is, we're not praying this prayer request because we're not intimate and close to the Lord of the harvest. And I believe if the devil hates anything, he hates intimacy. Amen. The devil knows, Brother Chuck, that you're going to live for whatever you're close to. If you're close to the world, it'll show up in your life with carnality. If you're close to the Savior, it'll show up in your life in spirituality. Number two, write down. I could preach on that one. I'm telling you, that was a big one. That thing's working in my heart. In fact, don't be a bit surprised you don't hear something else on down the way, or something about intimacy. That, I believe, is the need. We're lacking intimacy or closeness with the Master. Number two, I believe tonight that we are not praying the Lord's Prayer request because we're lacking interest. We're not just lacking intimacy, we're lacking interest. If you want to write out beside of that, put in parentheses, a concern for the masses. A closeness to the Master is essential, but also a concern for the masses of people. Over 7 billion people on planet Earth. And growing daily. Every minute. We're lacking interest. Did you know that you will not pray about what you're not interested in? If you're interested in something, it will come out in your praying about it. Amen. We can talk all day that we're concerned about so-and-so being saved, but how often do we pray about that person? Whoa, preach, I'd like for so-and-so to get saved. I'd like for my children to get saved. Well, how often do you pray about it? One of the great men of God of the past, I'm thinking it was John R. Rice, maybe somebody else. A mother came up to him, Brother Brad, and asked him to pray for my children, pray for my children. I want to see them saved. And that old man of God got some sensitivity and discernment about it, and he asked her, he said, "Ma'am, I want to ask you something. Are you praying? Are you praying urgently? Are you praying fervently about this request you just asked me?
Of course, she hung her head.
Don't do any good much to ask others to pray for someone in your life if you're not. Amen. I believe we're not praying because of a lack of intimacy. I believe we're not praying because of a lack of interest. If you're not interested in the harvest being harvested, then surely you will not do much praying that God will send forth laborers into the harvest. The term pray ye, I done referenced it once, but I want to define, I want to give you the definition of it. Where he said in verse 2, pray ye. Everybody still with me? Pray ye. You know what it means? Want it. You know what our problem is? We're wanting what we do not need, and we're needing what we do not want. We're needing this right here. Pray ye means to want it. Pray ye means to desire it. Pray ye means to long for it. Ask or beg for it. Pray ye. Show an interest. And I don't have time to deal with this, but just to show the strongness of that word pray ye to mean to want it or to desire it. There's several times it's used, but I picked out three. Luke 5 and verse 12, I'll read the verse. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. And think about that now, what that means. That is certain death. That is living a life of excommunication. A hopeless, defiled life. And I'd never seen this before till today. But on later on in that verse, even in this verse, listen to what it said. Behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him. The word besought him is the same Greek word in our text, pray ye. Now I want to ask you something. Do you think that leper was beseeching God with intensity? Do you think he was beseeching God with interest? Sure. But watch this right here. He said, and this is what stuck out to me today, where it said, he fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know the one thing that he wanted more than anything? He wanted to be clean. He hated the filthiness. He hated the defilement. He hated the nastiness. And, amen. Boy, I'm telling you, you can tell when you start to get on grounds with God. Buddy, you want to be clean. I have a problem with people in church that don't have, seemingly have any desire to be clean before God. Amen. But anyway, the pray ye shows us the desire is expressed there and shown us with that man wanting to be clean from leprosy. Luke 9:38, and behold, a man of the company cried out and said, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only son. That was the daddy with the son that was a lunatic. And he went to the disciples. You remember the story? He went to the disciples and asked them to heal him and to help him, and they couldn't do it. So he comes to the Lord with great fervency and interest and asks God to do something for his only son. That same carries with it over into this, pray ye, the Lord of the harvest. The third verse I'd like to use as a reference is Luke 22:32. And this comes from the very lips of Jesus when he tells Peter, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. He's talking to Peter and he said, the devil, Satan, has desired to sift you as wheat, that he may have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, but I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you, Peter. Same word right here. Did Jesus say it half-heartedly?
Oh, mercy. I thought of this just now. What if Jesus took our same level of intensity of prayer and put that over into his praying for us? We'd be in a mess. Wouldn't we not? Come on. Might as well say amen. We'd be in a mess if Jesus prayed as half-hearted as we pray. If he prayed as faithless as we do, as unexpectant as we do. Well, number three, got to hurry. Not only we are not praying this prayer request because of a lack of intimacy or closeness with the Master. We're not praying this prayer request because of a lack of interest concerning the Master, our concern for the masses. Thirdly, we are not praying this prayer request, and this is going to get a little sticky probably, but I hope all of us get under conviction. We're not praying this prayer request because of a lack of involvement. And here's what the Lord spoke to my heart about. True helpers really won't help. If I'm involved already as a laborer, I mean, come on. A true worker wants help. A true worker wants help, amen? And so I believe by the fact that they are told to pray that and we're told to pray that and we're not praying that, it's because maybe we're not doing too much. And here I wrote this down actually the day the Lord began to speak in my heart about this very truth I'm preaching tonight. Those that are not laboring themselves in the harvest will not do much praying for other laborers to get involved. You see where I'm coming at with this point of we're lacking involvement. We're not going to pray for others to get involved if we're not doing anything. Say amen right there. And I believe that that right there is the reason we're not praying for the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into his harvest, is because we're not being the laborer maybe that God wants us to be. Because true laborers want help. If we're involved and we're active and we're trying to carry the load and we realize how great the harvest is and we realize, man, if I had some help in this corner, if I had some help on, amen, we'd pray about it. Pray about it. So write that down. We're lacking involvement. Or if you want to put out beside that, we lack commitment to the ministry. We lack commitment to the ministry. An absence of intimacy was point one. An absence of intimacy will be also an absence of involvement. If you're not intimate with the Lord, you're not going to be involved in the harvest. Listen to what the Lord said. Listen to what the Lord said. He told Peter and James to them when they was calling them, Brother Brad, to be a follower, to be a disciple. And he said to them, follow me and I will make you, what? Fishers of men. Our part is what? The following. And that word follow means close, intimate. Follow means to mimic. We try to do as he does. We try to impersonate the Lord, so to speak. He said, if you do that, then I am going to make you fishers of men. So we're lacking involvement. Look in your scripture right here. Lord, give me this right. Actually, just a little bit before I came to church. The reason we're not involved, verse number 3, is because of wolves. That's good. This will preach in and of itself. I'm not going to preach it tonight, but it'll preach. Verse 3, we're not involved because of wolves. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. A lot of people's not involved in the harvest as laborers because of the wolves. How to be treated. You know, the militant people that you run across. The door slammings, amen. I remember Brother Carroll myself was down below Rogersville one day. I don't know if Brother Carroll, you remember that, but remember that fellow's threatening to call the law? And I mean, listen, he had just told me, standing in his driveway, that he wasn't saved. And I had that track, I still remember that track, the bridge. It's probably one of the best tracks I've ever seen in my life, ever. Very simple, and it's got the pictures in it that illustrates, and they can see it.
And I was going through that. And he said, I'm not saved. Well, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to start going with the plan of salvation. So I start with them, you know, showing him how to be saved. And all of a sudden, it must have dawned on him what we was doing and where we was going and the direction we were going in and what he was getting ready to do. And he stopped me. He said, whoa, I've heard enough. I mean, that quick. He said, I've heard enough. I don't want to hear no more. I mean, it was just, boy, he was interested in everything until all of a sudden, I believe the light turned on. He realized that what was going on. And he said to me, I mean, stop me dead in my tracks. I said, stop. I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear nothing else. And of course, you know, that just dumbfounded me because it looked like he's going to get saved, you know. And I thought, what did I say? I asked him. I said, what did I say? What happened? What's wrong? You know. Did I come across wrong? Did I say something offensive? Was I not clear on something? What happened? And I mean, he wouldn't even know, no response except get, leave. Get on my driveway. And of course, I began to weep. Because here's a man that by his own profession said, I'm lost just moments earlier. And as he was headed toward getting saved, or it looked like it anyway, the devil came in there and I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I know God wasn't in it. And I began to weep. I mean, tears run down my face. I said, brother, please don't do this. And then I was walking toward the car, but I was still begging with him. I was still beseeching him. I was still trying to get to first base with him and try to overcome whatever that problem was. And he said, if you don't leave, I'm going to call the law. You know, as if I was a criminal or something. Brother Carroll, you remember that? I'll never forget. Brother Carroll was going up the other side of the street. And Brother Carroll got in the car with me. And I'm telling you, I wept almost all the way back to church to see somebody reject God that was headed in the direction of getting saved. Wolves. A lot of people are not involved because of wolves. And there'll be that. Every door you knock on, every person you try to hand a tract to, like that young man I referenced the other night on Main Street, trying to give him a gospel tract as he came down the sidewalk, and he just was militant and began to holler and scream out as he walked off down the road. People coming out of the workplace wondering what in the world's going on. Are you listening? There'll be wolves. Number two, I said I wasn't going to preach on it, but write it down. Verse number four, wealth. A lot of people's not involved because of a wealth issue. Jesus told them, said, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Preacher, you mean to tell me that I'm to be involved, but don't take the purse? You know what that was saying? God is saying, I'm going to take care of you. I will move on people's hearts to take care of you. I will help you. A lot of people don't want to get involved, in, especially in global missions, because of a wealth subject. And then thirdly, write it down. I'm about done. Don't get involved because of wolves, verse 3. You don't get involved because of wealth, verse 4. But also starting in verse number 5, down through the next several verses, and you can read them when you get home, a lack of welcome. There's a welcome problem. Not just a wolves problem and a wealth problem, but a welcome problem. Jesus talking about in verse number 5, and into whatsoever house you enter first, say peace be to this house. And if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And if the same house remain, eating, drinking, such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire, go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, they receive you. Eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick, and right on down through there. But as it goes on down through there, like in verse 10 and 11, he talks about that if they don't receive you. If they don't receive you, he said, shake the dust off your feet and go on. Amen. But God said it'll be more tolerable for Sodom in verse 12. It'll be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom than it would be for them that has rejected the gospel, rejected God's servants, laborers. The Lord's prayer request, or why we're not praying
For the Lord of the harvest sent forth laborers. We're lacking involvement. We're lacking interest. We're lacking intimacy. Really, we're lacking, number four, and you just write it down, we're lacking intensity. We're lacking intensity. And I wrote this down. This is a good little saying, Lord, give me, and you'll probably hear it again in the future. Without intimacy, there will be no intensity. Us being intense and serving intently for the Lord and all comes out of our intimacy with the Lord. And I believe that we're lacking greatly in that regard. Amen. Anyway, that's the message the Lord spoke to my heart about and dealt with me about. And if we're not praying about it, and I think again the Lord wants us to get right with Him about it tonight. Lord, I'm sorry. I've not been, you've asked us. You put it in your word. You recorded it in the word, Lord, for us to do it. And Lord, I've not been doing it. And we've done this. We done this back a few years ago. And the Lord's been working it in my heart for us to revive that and do it here. If we're to pray for the Lord of the harvest, I think God wants us to pray for countries. Remember when we used to do that on a Wednesday night? We'd pray for three countries. We'd pray for, I believe there's like 256 countries or something in the world. And we took three countries every Wednesday night and prayed. We'd hold up I don't even know where mine is. I'll have to find it. But it was a cloth map of the world. And we would point out, we just went alphabetically, and maybe whoever would like to be in charge of having those three ready each Wednesday night, you can see me after the service, we'd point those out and we'd pray for them. Amen. Amen. I believe it'd help us if when we face the Lord, Brother James, that we could say, you know, I prayed for Argentina, or I prayed for Haiti, you know, or especially the countries we've already got somebody in. We ought to pray for them, and then we ought to pray for them countries that we don't have anybody in. Wouldn't that be a good goal to have, or try to get the gospel, try to have a missionary in every country on the face of God's earth? Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be a blessing? So I think the Lord wants us to get back to doing that. We did that once. Amen. And I think it'd be good to do that again, just to remind us and refresh our mind. Amen. And, you know, pray about it. Pray for those countries that God would send forth the laborers into those harvests. You know, and of course, it could have been added there on that point of the involvement issue. A lot of people are not praying for the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into His harvest because they're not a laborer and they're afraid to pray about it, afraid God will send them. When you know God's will is God's best, right? Isn't God's will God's best? You can't improve on the will of God, Brother Tim, wherever it is, whatever it is, wherever it is, or whatever it is. It's the will of God. It's going to be His best. Amen. But a lot of people won't pray. They won't get serious about praying about that because they're afraid about what God might tell them to do. Last time I checked, the servant doesn't tell the master where they're going to serve or where they're not going to serve and what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. Amen. If the Lord told you to do something, you got to do it. If the Lord tells you to go somewhere and serve, if God tells you to whatever, amen. When God told me to go to Rogersville, I had to go. And I mean at first, buddy, you've heard me tell it, and I'm not going to retell it, but at first, I didn't want it. And my wife, that first Sunday, Brother Brooks, I don't know if you remember or not. I remember it well. The first Sunday, preached on the dangers of discouragement. And I'll never forget it. I sat on the front row, and I'm pretty sure my wife was on the back row. Because she didn't want to come. How I got up here with her acting the way she acted is beyond me. Say amen, Mom. Better get off of that or I'll be praying for the Lord of the harvest. But I'll never forget it, Brother Brooks. You was leading singing that morning. And I sat right here and you sang the song, "There shall be showers of blessings. And oh, that today they might fall." Son, I'm telling you, God bless me all over. We got in the car to head back. We was driving back and forth from South Carolina up here
got in the car heading back, and my wife said, "What do you think?" I said, "Absolutely not. No way. No, God isn't in that." But I wasn't in. I mean, it was terrible. People's discouraged. What did Brother Brooks? The church was so beat down and discouraged, and I mean, it was. You could see death in the church. You could smell it nearly. It was awful. And I didn't want no part of that. Well, then they asked me, said, "Can you come back?" Well, I couldn't come back that next Sunday. I already had somewhere to preach, but they said, "Can you come back the next one?" So I came back that third Sunday and been coming ever since. But as we came and as we, the further we went with that, Brother Tim, the more the Lord put it in our heart, this is where He wanted us to come. We started in June of 92 preaching here. And by September, the Lord had just completely removed all doubt in my heart that this is where He wanted me. And I asked Him to do that. I said, "Lord, you confirm it in my heart. Because I know there'll be storms, and I know there'll be difficult days, and there'll be trying times and testing times. And Lord, if I don't have this thing settled in my heart, the first storm comes through, I'm gone. Or at least will be wanting to be gone." But the Lord settled it so in my heart, Brother Brooks, and I, honest before God, can say this tonight. It's been 20, well, actually this coming month be my anniversary month. Be starting 21 years. Never one time doubted that God sent me here. Never once. Not even through the hard times and the difficult times, never doubted it. Why? I got that settled before I ever said yes. Amen. God's going to do a work. God's working in my heart, and I hope He'll use the message to work in your heart tonight. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to close with a word of prayer around the altar. If you'd